So again, brethren, so today we will continue with our study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last Sabbath, we saw parts 1 and 3, parts 1 to 3, how we should not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. As we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said we should not be ignorant, that he wants us to know them. And we saw the meaning of the words, of two key words. There are lots of words there, but two key words are the words gifts and service. So in the Strong Concordance, in the Greek, G5486, it's the word charisma, we saw that, or grace endowments. What else? It might divinely, to be divinely empowered, spirit empowered. And the other word was service, which was energema, and or energema, however it's pronounced. I'm not a Greek person. Those of you who know Greek better than me could provide the correct pronunciation, but it's Strong's Concordance code G1 G1755, which means a thing wrought, an effect, an operation, or an outcome. So again, these two words, gifts, which are referring to the gifts of the Spirit. You could say the charisma, the divine empowerments of the Spirit. That's what that means. And service, energema, which is a thing wrought, an effect, an operation, or basically an outcome. So we looked at those. And secondly, we saw that our testimony for Elohim needs to be by his Spirit. And as I was saying earlier before, it can't be just something we're just mouthing, just verbally saying. It must be by the Spirit. That's what he accepts. He does not accept just anything that comes out of our mouth, no matter how right it is. It's not accepted. It's only accepted when it's coming from the Spirit with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, always. That's when it's accepted. And when we understand that, we could also see his great mercy. How many times we speak and it's not with all our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind? Thinking for myself, I would say most of the time. I would say most of the time. And so I recognize his great mercy, that he is such a being that seeks those to serve him in spirit. Yet even though we don't function in the spirit so many times in our dealings, he's very merciful. And when we do, he accepts it with lovingly accepts what we offer him when it's done in spirit and truth. So thirdly, we looked at the different types of gifts I listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, through verses 4 through 1. We saw, I'm not going to go through their specific meanings as I did last Sabbath, but we saw one, the gift utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, various kinds of tongues, and ninth interpretation of tongues. Those are the main gifts that are outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we saw that all those gifts were given for the common good to the congregation. What else can I say here as far as last week? And that Paul admonishes us to seek especially after the gifts, the all spiritual gifts, but especially that we might prophesy. So that's where we concluded last Sabbath. And if you've not heard it, you can find it on the website www.congregation. Of Elohim.org under Growing in His Knowledge, and it's called Earnestly Seek the Gifts of the Spirit. Earnestly Seek the Gifts of the Spirit. That's the name. You will see my written notes as well as a recording of last Sabbath's presentation using those notes. All right, so let's continue with part 4, and we'll try to finish this today. And thank you very much for the rich readings by our brother and sister, and the comments, the affirmations of the reading. So thank you very much for that. It's all of it contained information pertinent for today's discussion. Before I go to part four, some of the information you've read today shows us the gifts of the Spirit in action. For even in the psalm, "Blessed eternal, O my soul," that's from the Spirit. It's something all those who are living in the Spirit can do. No one can praise Elohim, as we saw, unless it's by the Spirit. Cannot be done. It has to be by the Spirit. Otherwise, it's just words. It's just a sound. It's not coming from all of our hearts. And I think our brother Willard had said this a few times. And in my conversation with him, he said it again, that with all the emotion, it's true. That's why we have emotion. We cannot fake praise to Elohim when it's being done with all our emotion. You see? So when we praise him with all our emotion, it's because we're doing it with all of our hearts. All right. So let's read a little portion here in Acts chapter 10. Just to see an illustration, just before we start part four, and a little bit of an illustration of the Spirit in motion. In Acts chapter 12, we know the event with Peter's vision. Actually, beginning in did I say 12? Not chapter 12, verses 10. Chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We know the situation with Peter and Cornelius, the dream, the vision that Peter had, and the wisdom he had not to jump to conclusions, but waited until he was shown by Elohim what that the dream meant. He waited, and when Elohim showed him what the dream meant, he also sent a dream to Cornelius. An angel visited him. A vision. It says, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 says, At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort or Italian band, a devout man who feared Elohim with all his house, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to Elohim, right? Much of what we were aligned with what we were reading today. That was Cornelius's character. Was Cornelius saved, actually saved yet? Not yet. But look at his character, what his character was like. Remember what our Master Yeshua says? He says, Yeshua seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. He is spirit. And these are the such he seeks. And such was Cornelius. And this gives you an idea of what such a man is. He was very much like Abraham. You know, didn't know the gospel, didn't know, but he was righteous, was a devout man. And Abraham, again, as I've said many times, before he was elected, he was a righteous man. At least before his election was made known to him, he was already a righteous man, a devout man in his mind and heart. So, verse 3, now let's listen to this man, what he says, and prayed continually to Elohim, right? So, verse 3, is about the ninth hour of the day, the time of the morning sacrifice, the time that our Master Yeshua was offered when he was crucified. He was nailed at 12 in the, at around 9 a.m. in the morning. The ninth hour is about 3 in the evening. So our Master was crucified in the morning, around 9 a.m., but by around 3 something, he gave up his spirit. So it's about that same time in the day, about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of Elohim come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Master? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before Elohim. Wow, that's how gracious, that's how well received this man's prayers were. You see what it says? It has ascended as a memorial. What wonderful, loving, appreciation and cherished attitude Elohim has and all his hosts towards this man's prayer. Just think about when you pray with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's how it's received. You know that. And these are the things we need to be grateful about. And from time to time, we forget. But we have to remind ourselves of these things, that Elohim is not a respecter of persons, that what he does for one, he does for another when the actions are the same. So your prayers and your alms, your good deeds have ascended as a memorial before Elohim. Didn't just ascend, but as a memorial. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Wow. Okay. So now there's a little bit about this man. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. So you know what happens. Peter has the dream by the spirit of Elohim. He waits on Elohim to give him the meaning. He doesn't jump to conclusions like so many people do. We are not to do that about dreams. He proves all things. We're to have the mindset to prove all things. We don't jump to conjecture and conclusion and what scholars and that scholar says. We don't do that. Scholars are fallible people. We are servants of Elohim, are led by his spirit that enables us to prove all things as we wait in him in his time. So the arrangement is made. Peter meets Cornelius and goes to his house and finds not only Cornelius, but his whole family and a whole bunch of others there, all wholeheartedly attending. We see that in around verse 22. Then in verse 34, Peter starts speaking, and this part I like to read. Not just for this portion, but even for the reading portion, as a reminder of the good news. It says, So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly, I understand that Elohim shows no partiality, but in every nation, not just in Jerusalem, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Stop here. Where is Cornelius acceptable? From about verse 1 and before, at some point, not after he received the gospel. It's because of his character. For of such, don't be deceived by people who are telling you anybody. It's not anybody, but it's whosoever wills. So we might think that whoso, for Elohim so loved the world, that whosoever believes in him means anybody. It doesn't mean anybody. It's those who will. Those who wills. But in every nation, whosoever or anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So this is the acceptable being accepted right here. Right here is being accepted at this point, this teaching point, this growing point. So I'm saying this because some of us sometimes are pressed by those who are learning from scholars, those who are learning by their own carnal intelligence, and they're pushing and condemning others who don't yet understand so many things. And they make these individuals feel so unnecessarily pressured by their carnal knowledge. Their carnal knowledge is correct, but their understanding of what they know is incorrect. So they push people and say, oh, if you don't say the word in this way, it's wrong. If you don't do this, it's wrong. No, it's not how it is. Cornelius was accepted by Elohim because he had a righteous character. Whoever fears and loves Elohim is accepted by him. Because here we find Cornelius accepted by Elohim. So brethren, some of us are just learning. Some of us are probably just saying Jesus. Some of us are don't know Yeshua. Some of us are jangling between Yeshua, Yahshua, Yahusha, and all this, these contrivances of men, of people who really don't know, understand the scriptures, the spirit behind the scriptures. And give others unnecessarily a hard time, which is not what Elohim desires. Because the knowledge which is from above is peaceful. It does not trouble the righteous. So we are not to trouble those who are coming to faith who are new, but ought to be patient, even as Elohim was patient with us. For there was a time none of us knew a single Hebrew word unless we knew the Jewish language from birth, right? So we had to learn. But at all these times, Elohim was gracious and merciful to us. So we ought to continue to have that same merciful attitude towards all who are coming to the faith. We will be much more effectual. And this is kind of what our sister Rose reading was about. The love of Elohim and how we are to have the same love. If he did not condemn us, reject us, when we didn't know certain things, we ought not to do that. We ought to extend the same graciousness to others he brings along our way. So let's continue. So verse 35 says, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And once you are acceptable, let me keep reading and then I'll say that point. So it says, verse 35, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Messiah, through the anointed Savior, he is sovereign of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all of Judea. Beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that Yochanan John proclaimed, verse 38, how Elohim anointed the Savior of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by devils. Not healing all who were given to devils, but who were oppressed. They did not want that condition. They were oppressed. It was oppressive. They were resisting, and the devils were like overwhelming them. They were oppressed. They're not rejoicing in their whatever it is their situation is. For Elohim was with him, Messiah. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Yehudim, of the Jews, and in Jerusalem. Notice what it says. Okay, let's not go there. I don't want to digress too much. So they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Verse 40. Now some are going to say, tree, cross. Look, some part says tree, some part says cross. We need to put both pieces together to get the full understanding. It's not one or the other. It's both. Let wisdom help you make sense of that. So we stop dividing the scriptures. There's a spirit of division. Somebody says tree, and all of a sudden, you see, it's tree. It's not a cross. It's this. Oh my, it's not the point. Okay, so we need to put the whole scriptures together and stop putting the con the stop having a letting the adversary put a conf create conflict in our minds, and so cause us to lose sight of what's important. Verse 40. But Elohim raised him on the third day and made him to appear. That's the important part. Tree, cross, both, really is what it was. Just defined differently by the writers. Just verse 41. Not to all. So, but verse 40. But Elohim raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by Elohim as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by Elohim to be judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, to him, all, not some, all the prophets bear witness. What did they bear witness of? That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. I give everyone a challenge. Find that. Find those in every prophet, because that's what belongs in all the prophets. Remember the lying pen of the scribes. So if you don't see it, chances are it was manipulated or removed entirely from the scriptures. So be careful, for we are to be instructed by all. We are to live by all the word of Elohim, not part of it. Don't be deceived by scholars who are dictating what the scriptures are. Truth is what the scriptures are. Written truth. So being accepted, what happens next? Verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Now let's look at this. Was this Holy Spirit something that they got from reading the law? Because some people would want to make you think that you obtain the spirit of Elohim by reading the law. That cannot happen. Because if that could happen, it would have happened for all the Jews and all the people for so many years, generations looking into the law. No, the spirit is a gift from Elohim, can never ever be received by reading the law. What you can do by the law is convert. The law can convert your soul, not make you overcome. The law can make you see what you need to turn from, and if you are a righteous person, you will turn from it. But if you're not a righteous person, you will not turn from it. But when you are a righteous person and you turn from it, you in of yourself cannot overcome those sins. You will keep falling in them from time to time. But Elohim will deliver you by his spirit, who will empower you, change your heart, change your mind, circumcise our hearts and minds, that will enable us to love the law, love the behavior of righteousness, and do it as said in the book of Ezekiel. So while Peter was speaking in verse 44, still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Verse 46. For they were hearing them speak in tongues. Which one of them? One, two, three. All of them on whom the Spirit fell. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling Elohim. What were they doing? Speaking in tongues. And as Brother Willard read for us, praise Elohim, exalting Elohim. Then Peter declared, verse 47, can anyone withhold water from baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, not developed the Holy Spirit? That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. Oh my goodness. You receive the Holy Spirit from above, just as we have. The only spirit we can develop is the spirit of man in us. By repenting, we're developing our own human spirit to not be contrary, to not be of a carnal sort that will yield to the Holy Spirit, which is from above, because we have our own spirit that we are developing day by day. Whether good, yielding to the spirit of Elohim, or we're developing an evil spirit, rejecting the spirit of Elohim, rejecting the words of Elohim. Let's not forget that. So let's not confuse ourselves. When it speaks about we have our own spirit in us. We do. The scriptures are very clear about that. I'm not talking about necessarily the soul. I'm talking about your spirit. The human spirit in us. That's the one that goes to Sheol. That's stored in Sheol. The spirit of Elohim that he gives us, that gives us life, always returns to him. But we have our own spirit, which is not created by Elohim. We have this spirit, which he's given to us, and then we develop it, either for good or for evil. We could look into these things at another study, but so let's not blaspheme, and let's not confuse others by saying that we can develop the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Then they asked him to remain for some days. It's the spirit. It's not carnal. It's not a carnal. It's the spirit now that's communicating to them, through them, to Peter, for Peter to stay with them. So what? So they can be further instructed. So verse 44 says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all. Again, very clear. It's not something they develop through Torah, through studying Torah. Torah is just about repentance, brothers and sisters. We have to understand that. Cannot save you, does not save, was never given to save. It was given us to tell us right and wrong. That's what it's there for. So we see that being accepted, this person, how Cornelius and all who were with him received the Holy Spirit. So let's move on to our portion with that said. Now, some of us, as we're hearing these things about the gifts of the Spirit, we almost want to doubt it because some of us have not received such a thing. I've heard so many people try to correct the scriptures or deny what the scriptures say because it hasn't been their experience. We ought not to do that. It doesn't say conform the scriptures to our experiences or our will, but it says be ye transformed, renew your mind through the scriptures. We are to see what the scriptures say and come and conform to it. Rather than deny it, seek it, as the Apostle Paul earnestly says, that we should seek after it. Then maybe you will start having it. Believe, and you might start experiencing it. Why did Yeshua not do many miracles again when he came back to his hometown? Was it because he did not have the power? No, his power is not dependent on human beings. He was spirit born. On earth, his flesh, he came to earth with full of the spirit. He didn't do it because they did not believe. And because they did not believe, they were not acceptable to him. That's why he would not cast his good works on those who don't believe. That's why he didn't do it. So those of us who have not yet received, seen the miracles in our lives, don't beat yourselves. It's simply because you're still developing. Or maybe you were not even aware you were supposed to seek the gifts of the Spirit as such, but we do. So you cannot deny, no one should deny something that they've never really sought after. And some of us are so busy. Unfortunately, there are so many people who listen to so many ministers who are degrading and downplaying the scriptures that they believe in, they have ceased to believe in the miraculous at all. So they don't even seek those things. Instead, they're busy trying to build schools. They're busy trying to build hospitals and carnal things of men by men's efforts rather than the... Oh, hold on a second. Let me stop here for a minute. Oh, not sure what I did here. Okay, great. By men. No, we're called to do a work by the power of the Spirit. That's the bottom line. The congregation that is in Messiah Yeshua's hands, and this is a term you'll hear me say over and over, is not one that does that goes around building schools and hospitals. It's one that goes around preaching the good news of peace as commanded by the Master Yeshua. They're not jangling about words and genealogies and all of these things, relics, you know. No, they're busy doing their Father's work, which is to preach the, which is to understand the Scriptures, believe the Scriptures, live the Scriptures, teach the Scriptures, be filled with His Spirit, and seeking it ever more. Not just as the disciples did. They were filled with the Spirit, but when trouble came, we saw they prayed. They were praying because they were beaten, and they were because they were afraid. They acknowledged their fear, but they prayed to be strengthened by the Spirit. What happened? Thus they said there was an earthquake, the land was shaking, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they went out again preaching after they were beaten. So we need to earnestly seek the gifts of the Spirit. And as Paul states, beginning in part 4, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, not to some, to each who are what? Ready to receive it. If a person does not receive a gift of the Spirit, it's because they're not ready. It's not a good thing. But it's a good thing that Elohim is merciful and patient, waiting for us to be ready. Just as Cornelius was. Did you see his lifestyle? Praying every day to Elohim, giving praise, doing alms. How can we receive the Spirit if we're not doing these things? Okay? And doing these things doesn't mean we've reached there. It just means we have a righteous mind. But we're saved and when we receive the seal of Elohim, which is His Spirit from above, the Holy Spirit. And then He gives to each one who is ready. Who is ready? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He doesn't give it to just some. Those who don't receive it are because they're not ready for it. And they need, and when we're not ready, we're told to be ready. So don't beat yourself. We should not beat ourselves if we're not ready, but rather, because that's useless. Rather, we should press on and seek the things above and do the things above and earnestly pray that we might receive the seal of the Spirit. When you have the seal of the Spirit, you will have a gift. The Spirit does not come in vain. So the gifts of the Spirit are all for the well-being and success of the body of Messiah. So that's point 4. Point 5, I want to finish. The gifts are for everyone in Messiah, as I've said. Paul states, and there are varieties of service, but the same Elohim, the same sovereign, and there are a varieties of activities. But it is the same Elohim who empowers them all in some. No, in everyone. Everyone what? Everyone who are ready. Everyone who genuinely believes and are doing what they're supposed to be doing. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 6. The latter part shows the gifts are given to, quote, everyone who is truly in Messiah, not only the elders and bishops or pastors. The pastors must, let me go back to this a little bit. Don't ever regard a person as a pastor or an elder who does not have the gift of the Spirit. Never. Because that's a key thing they must have. They must have at least one gift of this. But truly, a true pastor, a true bishop, a true elder will have multiple gifts of the Spirit.
healing, possibly tongues, especially prophecy. It's these things are basic facts. Okay, don't be deceived by anyone who tells you they are a pastor, they are this or that. No, you will know them by their works. All right. Part six, the services and tasks. The ter services is the services, sorry, comes from that word that we led with that Greek word, energema. What are the services? What do you receive the gifts for? You receive the gifts to render a service. So what are those services? Paul states, as I said, there are varieties of service, but the same sovereign, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same Elohim who empowers them all in everyone. The first part shows, besides spiritual gifts, Elohim gives different yet specific services and activities again to everyone who is truly in Messiah, not only to clergy. Per Paul, quote, "Now you are the body of Messiah and individually members of it." What part of Messiah did not do the miraculous? Just touching, just saying a word, and as recorded by Peter or Clement, even his shadow, just those who would be in his shadow would be healed. So, and Elohim has appointed in the called ones, the congregation, first apostles, these are the services, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. For the world? No, for the ministries of his congregation. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 28. So the specific services or activities in the spirit established and required by Elohim are 1, apostles, 2, prophets, 3, teachers, 4, miracle workers, 5, healers, 6, helpers, 7, administration, 8, speaker, translator of various tongues. All these by the outpouring of the Spirit. It is important to understand that these functions are ordained by the Spirit and can only be properly accomplished by the spiritual gifts, not by any natural innate ability or skill gained by human means or learning. Part 7, the love paradigm. At the end, or the love way of thinking or way of being. At the end of the chapter, that's chapter 12, Paul states, quote, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 31. He then proceeds to show the value and virtues of divine love, and that it is what matters most and gives value to everything the body of Messiah does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. That's a summary. It's the apostle John testified two times that Elohim is love. Elohim is not of love. Elohim is love. Any acts of love come from Elohim, even when done by those who don't know him. Just like all who breathe, who live, whether they know him or live, not live by him. And that life is by the word of Elohim, the logos, the Devar, the Messiah in them that they don't even know. Right? So since by the testimony of two a matter shall stand, we can rest assured Elohim is indeed love. So as we look at Paul's statements regarding love in chapter 13, we need to understand them by how Elohim, who is love, has dealt with the world. For quote, "He so loved the world." Now, as we do this, seeing love through his perspective, we will learn that love is more than compassion or charity. As Elohim is love, everything he did and does is by love, always. in love always. When he purposed to create before actually creating, it was love. When he destroyed millions or more people, young, old, and animal life in the flood during Noah's days, it was love. All his compassion, commandments, justice, and so on, his judgments, everything, even the lake of fire, are all expressions of his love when we understand it. So make sure you understand this so we don't misunderstand love. Leviticus chapter 19 specifies what Elohim means by love. Read Leviticus chapter 19. It's very clear. But so Leviticus chapter 19 specifies what Elohim means by love and what he means by, quote, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Specifically in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 16, 17, 18, 37. Those verses, 1, 16, 17, 18 are key to understand this. As you read it, you will see that the love of Elohim is centered on justice and righteousness. Paul testifies that love is a paradigm or way of life in Elohim that enables the body to withstand and do the impossible. All things. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. All things. It's not just compassion. It's not just being nice. These are expressions of love. But love is far more than that. Love is Elohim. We have to understand that. And when we love, we have Elohim by the Spirit dwelling in us, doing many amazing things. So as the love is head, as that love is head from which faith and hope and the other divine virtues stem. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. So we're almost done. Let's look at the eighth part, then we'll conclude for questions and comments. So the eighth part says, earnestly seek the gifts. Some read chapter 13, the chapter many call the chapter of love, and conclude the gifts are not necessary. But reemphasizing its vital importance in chapter 14, Paul states, now after chapter 13, where he talks about love, in chapter 14, let me turn that, Paul states, pursue love. What he just spoke about. Then he goes back, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. That's a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. How many times you've heard people, oh, you only need to love. Oh, you don't need to worry about the gifts. No, it's both. People have a problem with both. People will say, it's Sunday worship is evil. It's you have to keep the Sabbath. Did they ever maybe consider that maybe both days are important but have their own specific purpose? That's what the scriptures teach. I'm digressing here a little bit, but let us not get caught up between the fights between the great whore and her daughters. It's the whore and her daughters that are fighting about Saturday and Sunday. The believers of Elohim don't do that because we honor Elohim on all days. And we have assemblies both on the Sabbath every week, and some of them are on Sundays, on the first day of the week. Because everything that Elohim does is important. He created day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and day 7. Each for their specific purposes. But day 1, believe it or not, is a day of vengeance. And also a day of triumph. It's a day of light and judgment over the sins of the wicked. People don't understand that. I'll tell you the truth. The Lord, the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. People don't make the connection, but look through history, look through the scriptures. Don't listen to the fights between the whore and her daughters. I don't want to name names, but most of you probably know who the great whore is and who her daughters are. We ought to know that. Don't get caught up in their fights. We're not to be judges among the world. Okay? So, where was I? So, he says that we are to desire both love, which is the power to do all things, overcome all things, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Who is supposed to seek the gift of prophecy? All of us. We need to be praying that we could have the gift of prophecy. This is not my teaching. I'm just repeating what the Apostle Paul says. And I'm emphasizing what has been suppressed and not emphasized. That it is apostolic teaching that to be the body of Messiah, we are to pursue love. Not just love, but pursue it. And we are to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may, that there may be an outcome. It's not desired in vain. You're going to pursue it, desire so you may be able to, that you may be able to prophesy. Again, prophesy, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1. So some church groups teach that the gift of tongues is not needed. But what does the Apostle Paul says? Aligned with the prophet Joel, Paul taught, now I want you all to speak in tongues. Oh, brothers and sisters. But even more to prophesy. Again, he says that. So don't be deceived and be caught up in all this jangling between world, secular religions. And don't get yourself, these are the things we need to focus on. If we can focus on these, loving with all our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and desiring the manifestation of the Spirit in us, the manifestation of Elohim in us, that's what we need to be doing. Not jangling about words that nobody really knows. And it's a matter of opinion and conviction. And even in this, you will see in the writing, Paul says, if you have faith about something yourself, keep it to yourself. Because if you can't generally prove it, it's a personal proof. It's not a proof that Elohim has made known to everybody. So we cannot impose it on everybody. If you can't prove it, you need to keep it to yourself. It doesn't mean abandon it, but keep it to yourself. We need to manifest what Elohim has made manifest. Generally, without doubt. So now I want you all to speak in tongues, the Apostle Paul says, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. So you can say the one who prophesies is more effective than the one who speaks in tongues, unless the one who speaks in tongues has someone to explain what's being said. So that what? So that the congregation may be built up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. Again, it's all about building the congregation of Elohim, the body of Messiah on earth. It's not about building school buildings and hospitals. It's not those things are wrong. If any of us have done those things, they're fine. But these are our personal good goals. They're fine. They're not bad. But the work of Elohim is to build up the body of Messiah. That is building his kingdom. That does not come with observation. Not tearing it down with janglings about things that no one really knows, when we should be focusing on the kingdom of Elohim. And how he says to do it is to preach the good news. Not to get ourselves tangled in things he did not give us to entangle ourselves to. Because we saw the disciples early on. There were some good things that needed to be done, such as taking care of the physical needs of orphans and widows. But what did the apostles say? Because they were given a specific job. Their job was to conduct themselves to the word and to prayer and to ministering the gospel, not to serve tables. Is serving tables wrong? No, it's good. But that's not their job. So it is building. Are building schools and hospitals wrong? Not necessarily. But the job, the general job of the congregation of the body of Messiah is to preach, is to live the Spirit-filled life and to preach the gospel of the good news and to bring as many in as will be called and to be a witness to those who will perish, to those who won't believe. It's to a edged sword. For some, it's salvation. For some, it's certain doom. That's mine, our great job, to build up the congregation. So no matter what any of today's quote unquote elders or pastors, and I'm saying the fake ones, may say, per prophetic and apostolic teaching, all the gifts are important, especially prophecy. And it is your job, it's my job, individually and collectively, to earnestly, when you pray, get on your knees so you can have that mighty power of the Spirit in you to overcome sin, because not enough to repent. John came preaching the gospel of the message of repentance. But he says, one greater than me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose, is going to come to baptize you with the Spirit and fire. You must receive the baptism. We must receive the baptism from Messiah Yeshua. And when we have that baptism, we receive the seal of his Spirit. And we receive his power to be effectual servants. Until then, those of us who do not yet have the gifts must only serve in the way you can. You're not rejected. No, no, no. But we must understand the scriptures that we need to grow more and be more committed, become somebody like Cornelius. And so we can be, so then our prayers and alms and our deeds could be accepted as a memorial before Elohim. And then we could receive that good Holy Spirit. Let's continue. Especially prophecy, the apostle said. So throughout chapter 14, Paul emphasizes and describes the efficacy and importance of prophecy. Below are three main points that show this and the divine nature of this vital spiritual gifts for the body of Messiah. Point one is, prophecy reveals the secrets of the heart to convict. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 25. Two, prophecy gives credibility to that member or the collective body of Messiah. Again, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25. And thirdly, prophecy brings glory to Elohim. Chapter 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25. All these three points, you will see them there. So let's conclude. The gifts and services by the Spirit for the called of Elohim, the body of Messiah, are a must if we are to be, quote, good and faithful servants of Elohim. Because we cannot serve him by the flesh. We must serve him in spirit, for such he seeks. For the Apostle Paul, per the Apostle Paul, we need to know what they are and that they are vitally necessary for the well-being and success as a congregation, for the congregation of Messiah, collectively and individually. We need to function through love and earnestly seek the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. That means praying for it earnestly. Prophecy is our main testimony that will give credibility to the body of Elohim and bring glory and praise to him. It's not going to be something that in a quote-unquote pandemic, real or not, that people say, oh, it's an unessential thing. They'll be fearful of the congregation of Elohim as they've always been in the scriptures. Not something to shut down. Not something that government will feel is an unnecessary thing. And so could you imagine what the congregations are seen like? That so much now we're called to trust government. We're called to trust the science. It's because those who, quote unquote, are proclaiming Elohim are doing so, having a form of righteousness, but no power thereof. The congregation of Elohim must be one that works in the power of the Holy Spirit and in genuine love. Prophecy is our main testimony that will give credibility to the body of Messiah and bring glory and praise to Him. If we are really disciples of Messiah, then it is our job. So let's earnestly seek the gifts of the Spirit through prayer to our Father in heaven in the name of His sovereign and uniquely born Son, Yeshua the Savior, so we can be good and profitable servants. Amen, brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening. I'll take your questions, your comments now. Thank you. Amen.